Cheers.
Let's get into it. We're back from a great holiday, Thanksgiving. Yeah. Very thankful.
Very.
I'm full still. See, I'm a small guy, so it's pretty easy to keep me full, especially after two plates.
Like I said, man, I'm not a big fan of Thanksgiving.
No?
I don't like them. I'm a picky eater. You know.
I should have saved you a piece of turkey. This was the best turkey we've ever made.
Oh, yeah, you said you...
We brined it, so...
Yeah, you said that last day,
so. Yeah, we went crazy with it, and it worked out very well. I was skeptical of it, but it was the best turkey I've ever had. We had people at our house that don't like turkey at all, and they tried a piece, and they had a whole sliver. They didn't even just have a piece. They had a whole sliver. So it was good.
He made it. Don't forget.
It was a feel good moment. It was a feel good moment, right? You know, we said that last time. Mama made it. If it went bad, Mama made it. You know, so thank God it went well. I made that.
Poor
bitch.
Mama, man.
Yeah, no, she was putting in that work, but you know, she wasn't the only one putting in that work, Harry. You know,
it's all the people what you had to do to the turkey.
I don't even want to talk about that. That's besides the point. Well, I just got down and dirty with the turkey. Let's just say I went to all four bases. I got a grand slam, and I didn't even have to take the turkey out to dinner. Let's just say that, okay? But what I was talking about, I'm talking about the Detroit Lions.
Oh yeah.
They were getting down and dirty.
They killed it on turkey day.
And they were putting in that work. I personally will say, they had a lot more to give, especially against a team that's what, 5-5.
They haven't won 6 games. This is the last 5 games in a row they lost.
So, yeah. So
they're on a losing streak.
It's not looking
so
too good for the Chicago Bears. But at the same time, it has not been looking too good for the Detroit Lions. The offense has not been showing up as much as the defense.
The injuries that are piling up right now are starting to make me nervous.
They're making a big impact. But that's the interesting thing, right, is that a lot of these injuries are on the defensive side, but yet defense is still showing out no matter what.
They're showing out, but there's still a lot of football to play. It's
absolutely, you know, we are the number one. We're tied with Kansas City right now for best record in the league.
I think we're number one to win the Super Bowl.
We are number one right now
on the betting apps.
Yes, on the betting odds wise. Overall, you know, it's about to get tight, Eric. This Thursday we're playing Green Bay. If I'm not mistaken, we're gonna be at Green. Or no, we're at home, right? Because I thought we were talking about this last week, that we have Colts here and we have Green Bay here.
No, we have Bills here for sure.
Oh, we have Bills here, then we're at Green Bay.
I think we're at Green Bay.
So
no, we played at Lambeau earlier this year, didn't we?
We did.
So they're playing here this year.
Okay. So I think it's going to be a tough-ass game, Eric. All the sports analytics, all the bet analytics take the Packers. You know, it's sad to say.
I can't.
I think I am. I think I am. I don't like the looks right now of the Lions.
Did you just say you were gonna?
I am.
I'm about to walk out of here.
I'm sorry you feel that way, man. I think that's what's gonna have to happen, bro. Is that
what?
Because we're not gonna win against the Bills.
Okay.
We're very tired right now. We're on a third straight week of just back to back to back to back football, less than a week apart on each one, you know. And
that's crazy because this one's, you know, we played on Thursday.
My point.
What day are we playing this week?
Thursday.
There's 7 days apart.
Less than a week away.
That's a week away.
Well, it's less.
That's not what it is.
It is because if you're playing on
No, it's technically longer. They played at
12:30
on
Thursday. 4 hours longer.
They played at
less than 8 days away.
8 hours longer.
They don't have the kind of spread that everyone else does where they go from a Thursday and then to the Sunday and then from here and then to Monday football. It's just back to back. That's what I'm getting at.
I got you.
So.
Okay. Because the Packers didn't play Sunday, right?
I have no idea. Did they?
I don't know. No. Did they play Thanksgiving as usual? But I don't know who they would have played.
No, they didn't play Thanksgiving.
Did they play? I thought they played Dallas, actually.
No, that was the New York Giants.
Was it?
Yeah.
Man, I was out of it. I was sleeping by then, though. The turkey got to me. That was late.
But, yeah, I'm curious to see what's going to happen because I'm scared. You know, it's, like you said, a lot of injury reports right now. We have a lot of our big men out. A lot of our key star players out. What?
He said big men out.
Yeah.
A lot of the big men out.
Yeah, the big men. I don't know off the top of my head. I know there are some,
Anzalone.
Anzalone's out.
Hutch.
What's his name? Zadarius was questionable.
No, he's back. He's back.
Because he left twice during the Chicago game.
People say that, but it was only once.
No, it was twice. He got pulled off twice.
Once at the end, but it was, they came back both times.
He did, but it was before his sack, and after his sack, he got pulled off.
I'm starting to think a lot of these people that get pulled off the field are doing it for a different reason.
Well, we never know, because there's the whole new NFL rule where that they can have the overhead call down. Right. And I think that just gives so much more advantage to Vegas that if they really want to make a difference in the game, they can pull the head top safety, pull the top wide receiver.
After a big hit.
Yeah, right. And they can be like, oh, yeah, you're out, you know, this, no, but we got to give you a concussion protocol. Concussion protocol is going to take at least a couple drives, you know, at least a couple plays, you know. So that's where I think it gets really tough about it.
While we're on the sports topic, we'll circle back to Detroit before we hop into the next topic.
Absolutely.
Did you see that hit that got laid on Lawrence, the Jacksonville quarterback?
Yes, from the Houston Texans.
Crazy. Absolutely. He got ejected from the game. I forgot who laid the hit, but it was probably the worst hit on a quarterback I've seen this season.
Well, he's concussed. He's out for the rest of the year, and I want to tell you something really interesting.
Long weekend in the football weekend, because we started Thursday.
Yes.
We had a game Friday. Kansas City played Friday.
Yep.
We had a bunch of college games Saturday.
Yeah, real quick before we hop out of here.
We're not hopping out of here. We're going to talk about the college games.
That's all I want to say. What was up with every single game having a fight? And every single game has to deal with some kind of flag placing.
You know why? It was Rivals Weekend. Everyone was playing their rivals.
I know, I get that, but like, be original. Like, you're just copying at that point.
No, well, it's been a tradition in football for 30 years. You play in a flag.
No, but
in college football.
No, but not to that extent. Like, this was the craziest I've seen in a while. It's, same with NFL. There was a lot of aggressiveness this week.
Let me tell you what happened with the Ohio State.
Was it the retrograde?
Huh?
Right.
This guy's a fucking weirdo, man.
Go ahead, man. Come on.
All right. So what happened with the Ohio State Michigan game is last year Michigan won and planted a flag in Ohio State's field. Ohio State caught a lot of flack because they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They were off. They were walking off the field. No one turned around. No one said anything.
Yeah, they just let them do it. It was the third time in a row beating Ohio State.
Correct. So this year when Michigan went to plant the flag, last year they caught a lot of heat. Social media around the campus because they let them come and plant a flag.
Yeah,
because
you know what? On the weekend of it, they cover every single M throughout that whole campus. But ironically, the one M they don't cover is the most important one.
It's on the field.
Well, not even that. It's on the stadium.
Yeah.
That's the one they don't cover.
Yeah. Long story short is this year, they didn't want the same thing to happen.
Absolutely.
So they did say something.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was crazy is during the whole fight is – the head coach for the Ohio State Buckeyes was standing there, just watching it happen.
Absolutely.
Couldn't control his people.
Nor did he try it.
They're sort of losers. This is basically what it is.
That was the funny thing is because a lot of the Ohio State players are yelling, your guys' season is over. Your season's over. No, it's not even about that. It's fine. Our season's over. But we whooped you.
Right.
Well, no, we beat you. Yeah, we beat you.
We didn't whoop you.
Well, technically they did because they were projected to lose.
But we're the worst team. I'll happily say that.
Yeah.
And we beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Cause
with the Make-A-Wish Foundation quarterback, with a half-ass team.
I'll keep him at second string for next year after that game. I swear to God.
Oh, absolutely.
I swear. Long story short, trophy came back to Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to stay there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was crazy to see it. But let's hop into some entertainment a little bit. Touch a little bit on the Hollywood scene, you know, what's going around the country. You know, I just want to mention one thing. I find it a little bit ironic because I think God works in very mysterious ways.
Oh, yeah.
There's only two people that I fear, two things that I fear in my whole life. God and karma. Those are the only two things because they go hand in hand. Ellen DeGeneres promised that if Trump won, she would move out this country. She did it. She went and bought her dream estate in, I believe, either France or England, somewhere in Europe. She was willing to pay $10 million over asking. Just to secure it, because it was their dream property. So if I'm not mistaken, they paid 14 million pounds, which is like $17 million for this estate. Either the day she closed or the day before she closed on the house, The whole house flooded. That whole little area flooded. The farms, the houses around, her house destroyed.
So what happened?
I have no idea. They're still waiting to come up with more information on this, but I just think it's very...
So she stopped moving?
I'm I don't want to say I'm hoping for it, but it would be really crazy if she put down a really nice deposit or paid some money, and then this happened, and they don't even have it insured
yet. In the real estate world, if she didn't close on it yet, it's not even her house.
I agree.
It's still on the buy.
Absolutely. So I'm hoping I'm hoping she bought it then. I hope she closed.
She might have got lucky.
We'll see. We'll have to check after. But that's what's going on right now. We have P. Diddy close to making a real fight in case right now, or a fight in court right now. So listen, me and you have talked about it before off camera. I'm not sure if we've talked about it on here and how strong an NDA can be. Me and you both agree that they're not shit. With a good enough lawyer and a good enough argument, they're not shit.
It's like a prenup with a good enough lawyer.
Right, but we never really talked about it from the other way around, on how good an NDA can be with a good enough lawyer and with enough money.
Well, of course.
So that's what's really working
out. But you're forgetting the law part of the NDA is that you can't, it excludes any criminal activity.
Well, right, but you have to be able to prove that it was criminal. And if you're, and then if you have to incite that it was criminal, you can plead the fifth on it. You get what I'm saying? So there's a huge ring around it that you can try to make the way of it, but if it's self-incriminating yourself, which it is, I plead the fifth.
Right.
I plead the fifth, which you have every right to. So that's what's really interesting right now is because what I did, I have to fact check this one. I do have to fact check this one. I don't know if it's true. But supposedly P. Diddy's bodyguard, the one who's in charge of all, you know, getting rid of everything, who had the Miami connections with the local police department, he just passed away from pneumonia, if I'm not mistaken. This was just announced about a week and a half ago, maybe a week ago. And it's really ironic because every time something big happens like this, they always pass away from pneumonia. Every time. It's always this small little disease of pneumonia, which is it's a lung disease.
Yeah,
you know, it's a disease in your chest, right? You can't breathe pretty much.
Yeah, my grandma has it.
Your lungs swell up and then you stop breathing. It's hard to breathe. You cough very hard.
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know. It's crazy to see on how this all kind of plays out together. You know, I want to see what the bigger picture of it is. I want to see how it all kind of plays a part, I guess you could say. And one more thing I kind of want to mention on top of it, you know, we've never really talked about anything like this, but I want to mention go live in the Screamer universe. Kai Cenat, breaking all-time records with over 700,000 subscribers, most subscribers in the world, right? A lot of people kind of like, you know, like, it's whatever, whatever. I'll be honest, it was really motivational. It was really motivational because you watch it, and it's someone who truly wakes up every day. You good over there?
Yeah, I just remembered something. This is crazy.
You wake up every day and you just truly do what you want to do, right? And then it's crazy how everyone wants to meet Chris Brown. Everyone wants to meet Lizzo. Everyone wants to hang out with Bill Nye the Science Guy. These are all people that come and hang out with him. Come on his stream, be regular people, and just do regular shit.
It's like a show.
In a sense, you know, it's real life reality TV. And it was nuts. I've just heard
he gained like some crazy amount of subscribers over the last 30-day marathon.
That's
790.
That's what I just said. 730,000.
730.
Yeah, he broke the record. He might even have more than that now because his prediction is that he was going to end the subathon with 400,000.
I thought it was like 200. Or
no, he said 350 to 400. That was his. But he doesn't want to. But he said that he's going to be humble, like, or generous.
I think it ended yesterday.
No, it ended
or Thanksgiving.
November 30th was the last day.
Oh, okay.
Because Drewski and all of them came for Thanksgiving, which is the 28th or 27th. That Thursday.
One of those days.
And then they stayed the night. They had Thanksgiving dinner the next day, and then he did like two more episodes, and then he finished it off.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he streamed all day long.
Every single day, whether it was a shower, shit, food, sleep, no matter what. It was crazy. And that's the thing is that like he brought so much light to people because there was a girl that he brought on. I believe her name is Emily. She has been you know how he did a 30-day subathon? She has been doing a subathon for the last 3 years. She has not shut off her Twitch in over 3 years, Eric. In over 1,000 days.
I did see
days.
This, yeah, because she didn't even come there. She did it virtually because
yes,
she can't leave.
She can't turn it off. And they've never invited her to a subathon, or they've never invited her to the Twitch awards. They never invited her anything. And because of Kai, she finally got nominated for the best longest streamer of the year or whatever like that.
Yeah,
because
he put her on the map.
Yes.
She probably tripled their viewing.
She would have, no, more than that. She said, if I'm not mistaken, it was about 120 viewers a day on average. Right now she's averaging 8,000 viewers a day.
Fuck she do?
everything on live. Everything. And that's like I was talking about with one of my employees, Cam. Do you know how much money that costs with memory cards? Like, at her house, I'm not kidding. Obviously, they don't show it. I would assume that she has 30 to 40 packs of terabyte memory cards that she swaps out into her computer or into her camera.
What if like, your computer dies or something? Power goes out.
You're fucked. I'm sure she has I'm sure she has everything figured out, because there's been time, like, she does IRL everything. Gym, dates, out to dinner, cooking.
Dates.
There is no shutting it off. It does not just sit at the camera. It goes with her everywhere for over 1,000 days.
Yo, I could not live like that. Right. I could not.
Every single day. Like, you know how, like, you know, in China, they say you got to be afraid of, like, Big Ben watching the cameras? That is her life. She is on camera 24/7. Obviously, other than, like, showers and shit, because, like, she doesn't have a production team how Kai does, where they have cameras set up everywhere. It's crazy. But yeah, it's really inspiring to see. God bless Kai. Good for him.
He killed it.
Yeah, let's get into a little bit of, like, you know, crypto right
crypto?
Now.
Crypto?
Yeah.
Crypto's crazy right now, man.
You know, there's a video I saw about meme coins. We'll have to try to put it up. If we can we input videos on CapCut?
Nope.
Damn.
Yeah, I think we can.
We can?
We'll try.
Okay, if we can.
It'll be right here. If not.
It's all right. The meme, it's a meme about how you is a Family Guy video. A child molester pulls up, offers Peter candy. Peter's like, no, strangers aren't supposed to give me candy, right? He goes and read the newspaper. Newspaper says that the guy who went and got in the van got like a year's supply of candy. But the title has changed above it. It says, guy who invested in meme coin, 100x his profit. And then Peter's walking again. A new van pulls up. Hey, kid, you want to get in? I have some candy. And then it said, you as the investor trying round two. You get in. Right? And then it goes back to the newspaper of round two, and it shows Peter, local child raped, never seen his family again. And then it's you, down 100x. So, like, it's obviously very intense to explain, but it's just showing that, like, you do it the first time, it's like, wow, you won from it.
I sure hope that video imports.
Oh, I have it. I'll put the screenshots up. It'll make sense. Because you'll put the newspaper.
Okay.
People seen Family Guy, they'll get the clip. It was funny as shit.
Okay.
This was one of the best videos I've seen in a long time.
Crypto's going crazy right now, man. You got a really good chance of making some money in the market.
Yeah, tell us about it.
If you're not in it yet.
Well, let's be careful with what we say here.
I'm not a financial advisor.
Absolutely nothing. This is financial advice, but please go hop into Dogecoin, XRP, and to anything else that will boost my finances.
I'm not saying all that. But if you're looking to buy some crypto, I'll give you some good meme coins to buy.
Rocket.
We're not saying all that. That was you. See, you're the one committing financial crimes and asking people to rug pull cryptocurrencies. I'm just giving the people a little bit of insight on what coins are doing really well in the market right now.
Real quick, before a rug pull, for people who've never heard this expression before, it's something when you set everyone up to go buy your coin or a coin that you support, and you're one of the biggest holders, and because you made everyone pump it up and increase in price, you as the biggest seller pull all the profit and make it drop and make the coin pretty much worthless. Which is what a lot of people are getting in trouble for and doing right now. They are going on TikTok live, all this stuff, and telling people, we're at 1 cent, 3 cent, we go crazy. And they got it at half a cent, and they have thousands of dollars on it, and then they 6x their money and turn their 1,000 into 6,000 and dump it.
Gone.
But yeah, I'm sorry, continue.
So no, that's basically what meme coins are.
Yes.
It's basically what they are.
It's a meme.
It's literally a joke. It's literally like gambling.
It is not a smart financial
investment. It's not a smart financial investment at all. If you're looking for smart financial investments, talk to your local Edward Jones.
Get into altcoins. I won't say which. Get into altcoins.
Altcoins, stocks.
No, stocks are iffy right now. Get into altcoins.
Get into everything. Long term, it's okay.
That's not bad. Yes, I agree. But absolutely. You know, I want to get into one thing before we hop off the whole crypto thing. Have you heard of the whole word corrections or correcting in crypto? Have you heard of that before?
50-50.
Okay, so corrections or correcting is when the market goes all crazy, and after a certain point, it starts correcting, which means that it hits a steady point, and that's where it stays at, right? Right now, Doge is correcting, right? Where it keeps fluctuating back and forth, 47 cents, 42 cents, 45 cents, 40 cents. But it won't not go below, like today went a little below 39.5 cents, and then it shot back up to 40.5 cents. So that says that the floor price on Dogecoin is 40. That's where it's firm. Floor price is where the price will usually stay at. It won't go lower than that, unless something crazy happens. A lot of people pull out, you know? So it's just crazy to see on how each coin kind of correlates together, right? Because of the blockchains. You have Shiba that follows Ethereum, which is on the Ethereum blockchain. You have XRP, which is on its own blockchain, but it has something called Flare that follows it. You have all these other random ones like XYO that's followed on Ethereum. I don't know what it does. It's supposed to be like an internet integration. So it's just crazy to see on how everything is part of like three or four systems, but it spreads into so many different veins, right? And that's what kind of gets me scared about it, is because it's like, yeah, it's the alt season right now. Everything's pumping, everything's going right now. But which blockchain is the pumper, right? That's what the main thing that it comes down to figuring out. Because like, me and you understand this, right? We've talked about this a lot. We've been investing in crypto for over 4 years now. We've seen Bitcoin at $9,000. We've seen Bitcoin at $37,000. We have seen Bitcoin at $99,000. That's a crazy blockchain, right? That's a 10x. That's 11x. But then you look at Dogecoin, right? Something that me and you both purchased below half a penny.
Yeah.
Which is now at 40 cents. That's over 80x. So it makes you wonder, what is the right thing to do here? That's what I'm really getting at. Because don't get me wrong, from 9,000 to 100,000, that's sick. But that's only 10x. Now imagine putting that same money into something that's a million times cheaper, and then you
can 80x your money, 100x your money
on that. You know? So that's like the whole problem here, is that it's like, where do you, because
you can also lose your money.
That's what I'm getting at, because that's what I was going to say, is that the number one thing of an investor that they teach you is you do not keep all your eggs in one basket. That is the number one rule of investing. If you do, you do it in stocks. You keep it in your tech, that's what you do. You keep tech. You do gas, you keep it in gas. You don't split out from it. Crypto, you cannot do that. It doesn't work that way. It's not that simple. There's no dividends on it. They all of a sudden added all the yield returns and the APY on it, like it's a investing or like a savings account. Right. Have you seen that on Coinbase?
Yeah.
That's why I think it's really interesting on how is a crypto have a higher APY than my savings account? How is that possible?
I don't know.
The,
you're asking the wrong.
No, I know, but I get what
you're saying. No, but that makes no sense in my head.
Exactly. Right? How crazy is it that a coin that isn't even accepted in 50% of the world or in 50% of the things that we do, like you can't go in the grocery store and pay with Bitcoin. You can't.
Not yet.
I know, not yet, but I'm coming right now. You can't pay with Bitcoin. But you can go and pay with cash.
But why would you ever want to pay with Bitcoin?
Because it's part of your transactions. If you have one Bitcoin that's $100,000, you can tap that thing many times and it still goes up. So you can spend the money and the money technically comes back. And you're making an APY on it for holding it. But in the bank, I have to leave it in the savings. It has to be there for a certain amount of time. And I only get half the APY.
So put it all in Bitcoin.
That's the fear.
But that's
here.
The problem. Right. It fluctuates.
That's the fear.
So
here.
It's either
because
you're
then
really
if you,
making money or you're losing.
No, because that's the whole thing is that absolutely no one's a winner. And not everyone can be a winner. Someone's a loser and someone has to be the winner for each person to profit.
So it's good to have both.
But what if it's a bigger picture of that? That's the whole hope, is that everyone kind of decentralizes and goes in these cryptocurrencies. And then they go down under. Because like I said, that if you're holding them and you have one Bitcoin, you have $99,000 in your wallet. But then Bitcoin drops 10%.
Now you only have
88,000.
Yeah.
Right? Bitcoin went up 5%. You have 93,000. Bitcoin went down another 10%. You have 83,000. That's fucked.
Bitcoin drops 46% and all your bills are due.
you have 40,000. You're fucked. You know? And luckily, that's one thing I forgot to mention was, thank God we're still in the, you know, market talk. SEC just approved 24-hour market trends.
When does that start?
I think after the once the first quarter starts, because a lot of people are finishing their fourth quarter. Fourth quarter is not officially finished yet.
Right.
you know, for, like, I remember with you telling me your business, they do it really weird. They do it very early.
Yeah.
My fourth quarter is 2 more months.
That's crazy, because...
Well, January.
That's crazy.
December, January, 2 months. End of January for me.
Oh, end of January is your fourth quarter?
Well, that's when it is done. That would be the end of the fourth quarter.
Why would the fourth quarter end in the beginning of the new year?
Because it follows through. Because we don't owe our taxes for small businesses, and owe taxes till February or March.
Yeah, but the fourth quarter doesn't. That ends up the same. The fiscal year quarter.
Yes.
Yeah, that's completely different than the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Okay. Then maybe I'm misspoken.
Yeah. Fiscal year is when your business ends your quarter.
Yes.
Fourth quarter always ends at the end.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, what are you saying? Yeah. Your fourth quarter ends at the beginning and at the end of the
January. I misput that. That's my fault. But yeah, so it's really interesting to see how that all comes into play. And I also think it's just not going to work out in our favor. Because anytime that shit like that's done, it's never in our favor.
We'll have to wait and see. It's going to be crazy, though. I think crypto over the next 4 to 10 years, if you're not invested in it now, you're going to miss out.
So that's all I want to talk about real quick, right? You were kind of laughing at me like, why are you yelling at me about getting an XRP at $1.70? Like, you know, you're acting at me like, hey, it just went up 300%. And I was like, but now's a perfect example, right? Yesterday, I was at $2.90. And that's within 1 week. So it went up $1.20. Yeah. That's 65%, 70% it went up. So, sure, a week isn't a long time, but if you would have waited that week, you missed out on
damn. I should have just bought it at $1.50 when you told me to last week.
That's besides the point, because you can't. It's the same thing. Like you could have told me.
Should have, would have, could have. I wish I would have bought it on November 6th for $0.49.
You got Bitcoin at
$9,000.
Hey,
right.
You know, but it's the point that's why I was like.
At the end of the day, when XRP hits $100, $200, $300 a coin, it's not gonna matter if I bought it at $1.50 or $2.75.
It does and it doesn't, because like let me explain it to you like this, right? You buying it at whatever price you got, we're not going to say, you know, whatever price you got it at, that's what makes the difference. Because you buying it at $5 versus what you got it at, that's a 4x you're missing out on.
Right, no, I understand that.
So, like, so if it does hit $100, that means you're only making 25x at $5.
Right.
But on yours, you're making 90x. That's a big difference.
It is. I get what you're
money,
saying.
Money is there no matter what. Money is there no matter what. Yeah, you're profiting. Yeah. But
as long as you buy it at a certain point, if you buy it in a range, you're okay.
Absolutely. Because I'm saying, like, I've been in XRP, like, my average price is below 40 cents.
Right.
My average price. And that's a decent amount of XRP. So, like, I have no problem. I've been doing this shit for a while. I don't care about that shit.
I would buy more. Because then your average price is going to go up. As long as you stay under a dollar, I think you're okay.
Well, Soho, my whole thing is, I'm really weird about average pricing.
Yeah.
So, I have...
Of course you are.
Let's
fucking hear this.
I won't put in the same account. So, for example, all my XRP is on Coinbase. If I do buy more XRP, it's gonna be on Robinhood, or it's gonna be on Crypto.com. It's not gonna be on Coinbase.
Why?
Because I don't want to fuck up the average. I would like to keep it separate.
Why does that matter?
Because that profit that you're taking there is really different, and it's the same thing with tax purposes, because when you start mixing in your averages into different things, it's the time that you bought it. So now you can only take them out a certain amount. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you don't have to pay taxes
on
it.
Right. So if I'm going to pay the taxes on, I'd rather know which one I can pay less on and which one I can pay more on. Which one can I take it all from? Which one can I take little from?
I'm not worried about any of that.
Well, because whatever, because...
You're too analytical for my ass.
The free sauce, USDC.
Yeah, you just convert it.
Yes. Because,
You taught me that 2 nights ago.
Yeah, I forgot we had this talk. But a converted asset can't be charged as an asset.
Right.
Because you haven't bought it. You just converted it, and it's sitting there. And then you do something with it in hopes that someone takes it.
Speaking of meme coins, this is the next one that's going to 10x your money right now.
But, okay. You know, I don't really have much for politics, so I think we did pretty strong today. We can end on there. All I got to say is that Trump's meeting with Justin Trudeau soon.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about that 25% tax that we were talking about.
And we're about a month and a half. From an
inauguration.
January 20th,
2 days after my birthday.
Yep.
That's
I'm off that day at work, too.
The 20th?
Yeah.
That's lit. That's what me and, like, my whole family are talking about. So, like, Kevin's still waiting for his call from D.C. And so if he goes, that's going to be 2 days before. It's 2 days after my birthday, so he's trying to figure it all out. So it's going to be crazy to see. But we still have a long time to go. God bless. We're in December. I can't even believe it.
It's crazy.
But to that, we say cheers. And we'll good seeing you guys.